Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is still Otto Loos.
Still here.
And we are here with Dr. Patricia Bamba, who is Vice President and Medical Director, Geriatrics for Excellus, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. And it's amazing. Our first segment was Kate Beckman, which was very entertaining. This is so significant, though. I mean, it's the other end of the spectrum, but we have to be ready for everything. And we talked about memories, but memories can be also go terrible when you see somebody suffer in a way that they shouldn't have had to. You see a family fall apart in a way that shouldn't have to if you did some of the powwow sitting that Otto does and you're advocating.
Yep.
Even that doesn't guarantee.
No, of course not. But then, you know what? I know this sounds terrible. You'll go to a grave with your clean heart because
you
did the best.
So one of the reasons that we developed the MULS program we started talking about before the break was to have a way to make sure that people, when they express what they want, get what they want in terms of the medical orders for the life-sustaining treatment, receive the treatments they want, avoid the treatments they don't want to receive, and that can change over the last year of life. So we were talking about people who are seriously ill, and it's not enough to talk about just the resuscitation preferences. And it's important, I think, for the audience to know, when you say, if my heart stops, I stop breathing, and allow a natural death, which is a much more humane way to think about it, it doesn't mean I don't want to be treated. It just means in that moment, in the last 15 minutes of life, when I'm dead, don't attempt resuscitation. And frankly, for the very sick, it doesn't work. But then these other treatments that can be offered, we have to think about it based on what matters most to us, as well as what we want to receive and avoid. And it can change over the last year of life. So for my mom, as time went on and we had this annual powwow, I like that, or we called it a healthcare proxy party, as she was getting older, as she was getting older and having...
That's formal.
That's very formal, yes.
Go with powwow.
I like powwow. I'm going to use both of them now. But we did this, and you know, I have a t-shirt that basically, you know, defines no pumpkin pie until you tell me how you want to die. But it's also about living. It's about living. Right. You know, how do you want to live through that last period of time? It's not waiting to die. It's really enjoying that. So one of the things that happened to my mom was she was having some trouble with forgetfulness. She came to live with us. She was very strong in her feelings about her end-of-life care because we were doing these powwows every year. And when she came to see a new physician to go over all of her medical problems, the doctor introduced this new form and said, I just want to introduce this to you. This is a set of medical orders. It's a state form from the Department of Health. And my mom said, I'm ready to do it. So the only way this works is if the doctor is familiar with the program and the patient is aware and ready. I was her healthcare agent, and I sat in the room just listening. And we had had conversations over time. And so the doc, when she said she was ready to talk about it, the doc said, what matters most to you now? And she said, certainly not living in Rochester, because my grandkids and my family is what matters most to me. And I want to be able to travel and see them as long as they are able to know me and I'm able to be the grandmother. And so with that, started to talk about how does that goal translate into her preferences. And she said, and she was a very devout Catholic, and said, I want ordinary measures, I don't want extraordinary measures, and if the good Lord says it's my time, allow a natural death. So a do not resuscitate order was done. And she said, it didn't mean I don't want treatment, I still go to the hospital, I would still have testing. If I had pneumonia, I would take antibiotics and fluids. If I can't get better with that, don't put me on a breathing machine. So she wanted limited interventions, but did not want to have that extra level of being on a breathing machine. And then it came down to talking about feeding tubes. She was 82 years old. She also knew that feeding tubes for people who have dementia cause more harm than good. And we've had evidence about that for more than a decade. She also knew, and she said to the doc, I've watched my friends die. And no matter what age, when people die, they lose their appetite. And they don't have the will to eat. I want to have real food. I'm a great cook. I want real food. I don't want that liquid stuff that doctors give. They don't taste good. So she didn't want feeding tubes. But that was then a set of medical orders that was on her refrigerator to be able to have it available for when EMS spoke and now, EMS came.
You have that. People can't see it, obviously. We're on radio. But what is that, the document?
This is the document. It's a set of medical orders that physicians sign, and it's really after the kind of intense powwow that, you know, you have, but it's with your doctor. Your healthcare agent should be hearing what's going on. The rest of the family needs to know. But it really is a set of medical orders. It's this equivalent, page one, to the non-hospital DNR form that you're familiar with, and that's a plan for the last 15 minutes of life. Page two is about other life-sustaining treatment, and when EMS comes to the home and people have trouble breathing, it gives direction to the EMS to say what they should do and not do. You know, should they put a tube in with breathing? Should they transport to the hospital? And on Long Island, there's a new concept called basically a paramedic who's going to the home not to transport but to give other additional treatment, where they are directed by the desires for IV fluids or antibiotics. Not for everyone in the population. It's for people who are seriously ill, might die in the next year of life, and or older adults like my mom, who had strong desires, not about the future, but what she wanted right here, right now. And it has to be taken with you to make sure it's available for EMS. So when she had it, we would take it to the restaurant. If she went to get her hair done, came with her. If she got her nails done, it came with her. And it's reviewed every 3 months in her doc's office, because if her health status changes, she got sicker, what mattered most to her changed, then those orders can be changed. So it's not one and done, and it's not like a living will on steroids. It's a real set of medical orders.
Where do you get that?
So it's available on our website called compassionandsupport.org. It is the hub of all of the information on the MOLS program. It's also
.gov, you said?
.org. And it's a New York State Department of Health form. They have a web page, the MOLS page, and they refer to Compassion and Support. You can also get it at your physician's office if they are aware of it, but you would ask to make sure that they're familiar with it. We're down here with iPro because we're trying to educate the physicians, nurses, social workers in the community, and folks that listen on your station and their caregivers, to make sure that they're aware that this is available, and it's a Department of Health program to make sure it's done correctly. We have a lot of videos to help people to understand more about the program.
Just from a personal perspective, my mother died 2 years ago. We were all with her when she died. I do all the stuff, you know, but I couldn't be her healthcare proxy person. I said, "Ma, it's never going to happen. So don't go." My brother's a doctor, so he was it. But what you said, when your heart stops, that do not resuscitate, because prior to that, her breathing was bad. And I'm saying to myself, when do you say do something? I was just lost. And nothing was done. And nothing could be done, because then her stopped and that was the end of it. But it's an interesting thing to understand, because I'm saying, like, that kind of a breath, do we call the person, say, keep doing that, don't keep doing that? I say, when you explained it so peacefully that it's a natural death, and don't wake the person back up, because you're bringing them back to a world that they don't want to be in the first place at that point. You didn't do something to hurt them, so to speak.
And the reason I'm so strong as a proponent is I've had people where I've been taking care of them on the weekend, where someone inadvertently comes in, sees someone gasping for breath, and inadvertently calls EMS, calls 911. And the non-hospital DNR form only applies to when you're dead, and EMS needs direction about what if you're struggling to breathe. And that's where the value of the MOLS form comes in, to be able to give direction to about intubation, about hospitalization, and to really allow that peaceful death that the person wants. My mom got sicker over time and ended up developing cancer. And so with that, and actually she developed it and was identified when she was in a hospital in Pennsylvania. This had traveled with her, and the doctors followed it in Pennsylvania when they were not familiar with it, because it was signed medical orders. And you asked the question earlier, how do you make sure you get what you want? It's really by, when you're very sick, taking what you want and putting into medical orders. when she came back after 2 weeks in the hospital for a treatment of an infection, 2 weeks of rehab, she wasn't the same spry person. She was frail. But when she went to the doctor and the doctor said, what matters now, it was, I want to stay functional. I want to live the rest of my life in my daughter's home. I want to die in her home. And I want to have quality and comfort at the end. And so the orders changed. We had to X out in paper. She still wanted a natural death. She wanted comfort measures only. Didn't want to go to the hospital. Chose not to do chemo. Did not want to have any transport. She didn't want IV fluids. But she needed a good plan for symptoms, for pain, right, okay. for nausea, to be able to do that. And her care plan was hospice. And she was able to die peacefully in our home, not be rehospitalized. And it was because there was a good care plan. I would go back to those powwows that you talked about, which is so important. Mm. Every annual powwow, but we had lots of intensive conversations when she was really sick, and the whole family knew what she wanted. And it was those conversations over time and these intense MOLS discussions that helped us as a family to say we did what she wanted and to avoid the fractionation that you talked about earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you talked about, your mom, what do you want? What do you want when you're alive? You, like your mother described, she wants to be able to visit with her grandchildren, mm-hmm. be functional, and so on. And I asked myself that, too. Like, what would I want? Would I want to be laying in bed not knowing who's around? Not particularly. That's not me.
Right.
Probably rather not be around, to be blunt about it. So I think it's important to, I don't want to be on a feeding tube. I know that just from this conversation that we've had, because I like to eat. I don't look like it, but I do like to eat.
I should be on a feeding tube.
Yeah. No, but the idea is what we said, open dialogue. But some people really, really, really have a problem addressing reality.
No, I agree. This is the type of thing. You're from Rochester?
Yeah.
I'm confused. So you come down here often or no?
About 1 week out of the month through this IPRO project. So
oh, okay.
I'll be back in the first week in June.
Okay. For everybody listening, I mean, I would follow up with compassionandsupport.org, because this is like the next step of all the stuff that I've been hearing about as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And it's from my perspective, just listening to it, it's like a nice, peaceful next step. And it's respectful. It's not even peaceful. It's respectful of the wishes of the dying mm-hmm. person. And it's peaceful, I think, for the family members to realize they've done the right thing.
It, absolutely. And it really is the conversation that you heard, Otto. It's not about interventions. It's really about what matters most, how you want to live. You know, and that's what my mom was able to give us. And that's what gave direction. So if she had had a major stroke and had lost the ability to make decisions, I was guided by that. And I would have been able to make those decisions for her.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I want you to remember two things from this segment: pumpkin pie and powwow. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. Dr. Patricia Bamba, I want to thank you so much. This has just been a phenomenal segment, and we'll be right back.